And Jesus Christ, the light of the world, my dear Christian friends, to whom the Lord says, as all his disciples, you are the light of the world. Live as children of light. It was a shock to me some years ago when I finally realized that this Old Testament lesson, that second part of it that we read before, was aimed at me. It's not very nice for God to say this about us, but he speaks the truth in love. We heard that before from Isaiah chapter 42, where he says, "Hear, you deaf, look, you blind, and see, who is blind but my servant, and deaf like the messenger I send?" You mean I'm blind and deaf? Yes. We are all by nature blind and deaf. The messenger can add nothing to the message. It is powerful in and of itself. It is the messenger's responsibility to share the message as God has given it. Pictures don't add anything to the message. Sometimes you can do all you want with the technology and the Lord will say no to the pictures. So it is. He wants the word preached. He wants it to enter our ears and sink into our hearts. He wants to turn the lights on for us. So he tells us what it's like by nature. Who is blind like the one committed to me? Aren't we committed? Blind like the servant of the Lord? We are servants of the Lord. You have seen many things but paid no attention. In Hebrews it says we ought to pay better attention to God's word. Your ears are open, but you hear nothing. It pleased the Lord for the sake of his righteousness to make his law great and glorious. The joy of knowing the God of the Bible is that though he speaks honestly of who we are and what we are by nature, he loves us the way we are, but does not want to leave us that way. He wants to turn the lights on for us and give us sight and make our ears hear. And he uses means to do this. Tools. The means of grace, the gospel in word and sacrament. Why today our Lord Jesus chooses to illustrate this with mud, I don't know. It doesn't say. But the fact is that's how some people treat the Lord's word and treat his sacraments, like mud. So he'll use something very earthy to drive this point home. Believing is seeing. Not the other way around, the way people say seeing is believing. No, 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 no. Believing is seeing. Imagine that you could remember your mother, maybe you can, saying, "Wake up, sleepyhead. Get up." But you've never seen her face. You've heard your father's gentle voice and felt his firm grip, but you have never seen anybody's faces because you were born blind. You live on the Teropian Way, which is a street that leads south from the Temple Mound through the city of David all the way down to the Pool of Siloah. But your life is very simple. Because you could never play like the rest of the kids. And you can't have a job. What is there to do for a blind man but to get up off your mat in the morning, go out the door of your parents' home, and sit out by the street? And you know the generous voices of people who will stop and talk and help you out. You also know the familiar footsteps of those who just keep rushing by. Blind, beggar, what else is there? Until that one day, he's there again. And you've heard his voice along that way, and you've heard those other voices with him, but today, they stop. And they're talking about you as if you're not there, like you're deaf. Troublesome question. And you wondered this yourself. Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? You've wondered. Because you know the other kids could see and you don't really know what that meant. You know they could play. What happened? Jesus' answer is puzzling and yet comforting at the same time. Neither this man nor his parents sinned. This happened so that God's works might be displayed in him. We must do the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So it wasn't me, it wasn't my parents, but what does this mean? I am the light of the world. You hear Jesus spit. He's mixing the mud with his fingers. Now he's putting it on your eyes. You don't have to tell me twice, Jesus. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. It's just down the street. You've been that way many times before. So you hurry because you'd really like to get the mud out of your eyes. And as you're coming back, there's the street. There's the buildings that you've passed all these years. There's the people. There's their faces. And they're all looking at you very curious and asking, isn't he the one who used to be sitting there along the street begging? Some are saying yes, and some are, no, he just looks like him. And you just keep on telling them, I'm the guy. That's me. So they stop you and ask, they want to know, how is it that your eyes are open? They didn't see this happen. You know, Jesus would just do these things so naturally coming along, and then he'd move on. So you tell them, the man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and told me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then, now I can see. Where is he? I don't know, I didn't exactly see him. Now everybody's going to be happy, right? Just like everybody comes to church and hears the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they're just as tuned in as can be, heads are not bobbing, brother next to you to bump your brother. Oh no, this is the gospel of the Lord. And we can all see already, right? I learned this in catechism class. I've read these stories forever. I know this already, right? The pastor that goes about his work like a professional and does not take it to heart. The teenager who thinks he's heard it already and he knows it well enough. And the people at church that get offended by somebody else and then stay away. Oh, we can do that, can't we? Now we can relate to the people that are coming up here a little bit better than we might like. Because not everybody's happy. They're taking you to the Pharisees, and you've heard these people talk before, and you know how harsh their voices are. Now you're looking in their faces, and these stern-looking men are all looking at you, and they're demanding an answer. Like you did something wrong. You were just blind. You were a beggar. That's all you could do. Now you can see, and you're in trouble? Go figure. The Pharisees demand to know how you can see, and you have told this story before, so you just tell it again. He put mud on my eyes. I washed, and now I see. Like, what was I supposed to do what day this happened? Why should that matter? This man cannot be from God. Because he doesn't honor the Sabbath, he doesn't keep the Sabbath. And people are asking some of the other Pharisees, well then, how can a sinful man work such miraculous signs? And they're arguing amongst themselves, all these religious leaders. Now they're asking you again. What did he do? What do you say about him that he put mud on your eyes? And you're just trying to keep it simple. He's a prophet. That should settle it, right? No. Now they're dragging your parents over there. Because they just don't believe that you could possibly be the one that was born blind and now you can see. They're asking your parents all these questions one after another. And you've never seen your parents so upset in public. They're doing the best they can. He is our son. He was born blind. How he can see now or who did this for him, we don't know. Ask him. He's of age. He still lives with us because he's blind. He's of age. Ask him. So they ask you again. Are they really going to put you under oath and ask you to swear to this? Yes. They're really tightening down the screws on you now. Give glory to God. We know this man is a sinner. You're just trying to be respectful. But now you did sit by the street all those years as a beggar. There isn't a whole lot that embarrasses you anymore. There isn't too much that these guys can say that's going to scare you. Whether he is a sinner, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind. Now I see. What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? You know, you're getting it up to here. I already told you and you did not listen. You feel like you're talking to a drunk or to teenagers that just, you know, in one ear and out the other. Or some friend that just doesn't like you anymore and you've explained this a million times. Do you want me to tell you again? Why do you want to hear it again? You don't want to become his disciples too, do you? Now they get personal. You are his disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but this man, we don't know where he's from. Now you've had it. That's it. Gloves are off. That's really amazing. You're getting sarcastic. That's amazing. You don't know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he hears anyone who worships God and does his will. Throughout history, no one has ever heard of anyone opening the eyes of somebody born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. So they damn you. They just condemn you, right? You were drowning in birth at sin. You presumed to teach us. You'd found out why your parents were so nervous. They had threatened these Pharisees that anybody that spoke well of Jesus or confessed him as the Christ gets thrown out of the synagogue. You just stepped over the line. You just told the truth. You get thrown out. Still happening today? It just seems to me that the people who talk about the Pharisees in the churches are some of the worst Pharisees themselves. There will be church people that apply all these rules on people one after another and they have no forgiveness because they think they're fine themselves. And there are those who go away from God's law and make up their own and think the rest of us should live by their morality. And it's immorality. What are you supposed to do? And what can you do when the Lord comes back and says, by nature, you're blind and you're deaf and you never really lose that? You just praise God when you've got Christian friends or parents or loved ones that call you back. Because that's Jesus coming. Coming in his word, bringing his sacrament back to you and bringing you back to his house. He loves to do that. This man could not recognize Jesus. He didn't actually see him. And now he sees a smiling face coming toward him. You see this face that you hadn't seen before, and you hear the voice, and now you know this is the voice of the one who said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now you can put the face together with the voice. And he's saying so kindly, he's asking you this question, but not the Pharisees asked. He says, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? you ask, you wonder that I may believe in him. And this friendly face is now saying to you, you have seen him. In fact, he is speaking with you. Son of man, all those years that your parents took you to the synagogue, your ears worked just fine. You could listen. You could hear the prophets like Daniel talking about the Son of Man coming, and you know very well that this Son of Man is the Messiah. You're looking into his kind and loving face now and realizing he is the one who spoke the words and made the mud and sent you to wash, so that you could be clean on the inside. It's the Messiah. Without even thinking, you're on your knees. You're worshiping him. Lord, I believe. And Jesus speaks to him as he speaks to all of us. For judgment I came into this world. Catch that? These people who want to worship Jesus as the God of love, who just wants people to be as happy as they can be, no matter how wicked they are in God's sight. Jesus says, for judgment I came into this world. And it's obvious it's not just for the grossly immoral out there. It's for the people in church too, beginning with the pastors. I came into this world for judgment, in order that those who do not see will see, and those who do see will become blind. When you admit your blindness, Jesus is happy to turn the lights on for you. If you're so stuck on your own opinions that you just really think you know it and God can't tell you anything in his word, you know, that's an old dusty book that's all those years old and you can't tell me anything, well, you're going to stay blind. And it's not God's choice that you be that way. Are there Pharisees in the churches today? Yes, and there's a little Pharisee inside every one of us. That stubborn, self-righteous, don't tell me I'm wrong attitude. You're blind, you're deaf. Come to the Lord. He turns the lights on for you. And the Pharisees, of course, they're still offended. We aren't blind now, are we? If you were blind, you would not have sinned. But now that you say, we see, your sin remains. I once was blind, but now I see, was lost, but now I'm found. The amazing grace hymn. It's okay to say, now I see in the Lord. But to always recognize that blindness inside yourself and in the little Pharisees that you have in your home too. I requested permission for the last slide that you could have seen today perhaps, of two little kids looking up at the camera, all dressed up with the big glasses, just as cute as could be. A mother put this on her blog site, of the little Pharisees and prodigals in her own home. Her name is JanelleKnutson.com. I'll send you the website if you want it. I asked permission to use the picture. She said yes. God said no. But on JanelleKnutson.com, she tells the story of herself as a teenage girl, raised in a Christian family, and then she got pregnant. And the trauma inside her soul of, what do I do now? She actually went in and checked out to have an abortion. And basically Planned Parenthood gave her everything she would need for an abortion and then to make sure she'd never get pregnant again, but she could keep living in sin however she wanted. You know the story. But she was taught that that's a life, and she wouldn't take the life of her child, turned out to be her first daughter, in order to satisfy her, to help her own life. But that means she's got to face the family at home. She lay there crying one night, thinking she had to go talk to her sister, and they were not close. But she figured she'd see her sister first, and she did. And instead of kicking her out of her room, her sister wrapped her arms around her neck and loved her. And said, I'll go with you when we got to talk to mom and dad. hardest thing in her life, she said, to face off with mom and say, this is me now, I'm pregnant. And her mom wrapped her arms around her neck and loved her. And her dad came home and did the same thing. These God-fearing, righteous people in the eyes of the world in the church knew their own sin and their need for a Savior. And when a fellow sinner confessed, well, it's the same thing she experienced when she got back to church. She's not denying the sin. She's not excusing it. She's owning up to it. And men and women from the congregation that she barely knew were hugging her and loving her and gathering close in a way that she had never known before. And God takes the sin and turns it into a beautiful life, not just inside her and for this child, but for the whole congregation to express the grace and mercy of God. This is what he does. He brings us back. He welcomes us home, like the story of the prodigal son. Father watching the road. It's really the merciful, forgiving Father watching for that son to come home from his life of sin, not even waiting for the son to come to him, but wrapping his arms around his son and the speech the son planned he can't even get out. Let's party. So those little Pharisees and prodigals in your home, call sin what it is when they're disobedient. Let them see there are consequences for sin. But those beautiful words, Daddy, I'm sorry, Mommy, I'm sorry. That's it. Let's party. Maybe that's a good time to go out for ice cream or to do something to say, this is over, and you don't bring it up again. Husbands and wives, I'm sorry. Harder words, I forgive you. You don't bring it up again. It's like the wake of a boat that's all washed out and gone, and you're moving on in Christ because the lights are on. Confess, and he'll turn the lights on for you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Please rise.